Right now it is time to bring in Tim Luke and Greg Schraub, the appraisal guys, the frickin' frack of Nick and Knack with Appraise This. You'll find them, of course, on the web, tqag.com. Good morning, Tim. Good morning, Greg.
Good morning.
Good morning.
There we go. How are you both this morning?
We're both in Hope Sound this morning.
My goodness. Yes. Well, wonders never cease.
It doesn't, I'm telling you. Wow, it's really great.
Well, I want to start off with something that I saw in the newspaper, and it caught my attention. And that is Elizabeth Taylor used to own a 1960 Rolls Royce, okay? And she got it when she was married to Eddie Fisher. People nowadays don't even know who Eddie Fisher was, or probably even Richard Burton. But anyways, they're saying that the auction could fetch $1 million or more for this car. It's mint green, and supposedly it has the initials when she was married to Eddie Fisher that were on the door. So I don't know. So do you think a car like this, because if it's associated with Elizabeth Taylor, will go for $1 million?
I think, first of all, it's a beautiful car. I don't know if have you seen the photograph of it? It's really quite a beautiful car. These things have sold for quite a bit in the past, just on the fact that they're just a Rolls Royce Silver Cloud for, you know, just, but this is a vintage one, which that's a second point. And the third point is Elizabeth Taylor next to Marilyn Monroe is probably the most iconic movie icon that's ever graced our presence. So I can't imagine that it's going to just either pass or it's not going to sell for a lot of money. So I think the possibility is definitely there. And I think it's also going to depend a lot on the condition. You know, it looks great in a photograph, but does it actually run? So I think there are mitigating circumstances, but I think it's possible that it could definitely sell for that. So
it has potential. And I think that it has great potential because you don't see an awful lot of Elizabeth Taylor items that have come up. Christie's held a big sale in, I think it was the 2000s or late 1999, 2000 of her collection. It was all her personal stuff. Like, she did not put out a whole lot of memorabilia to the public. And in that sale, there was a lot of things, and they held on to an awful lot of things. And Julian's actually will be selling. I think they're doing a 3-day auction.
Yeah, 3-day in December.
In December. And that'll be a whole host of things that will be what, you know, some of the leftover items and other memorabilia. But there's some really great stuff from movies. So for something like this to come up and be a part of, especially the car auction time period, because this is August and Pebble Beach and there's all kinds of big car auctions that are coming up. I think it has the formula to do $1 million. So it just depends on where the market is. I mean, if this trade, Greg and I were talking about this this morning, is that, you know, the stock market drops and all this is going on. Well, that does make an effect on people's buying decisions. And, you know, when these things are happening in the marketplace, there you take that into consideration, as not only as appraisers, because we have to look at that when we're also appraising certain things and looking at auction results. It's like, well, wait, why did this auction not do as well? Well, maybe there was a whole lot of tinkering with this, like the trade wars and all of this, that just made the market really step back and made buyers step back and not go forward. Or you also have, there's a rarity factor and desirability. And as Greg stated, if this is in fabulous condition, it looks wonderful in the photograph. And if it, if it is as great as it looks, then you may just get people that say, well, I don't care. I'm going to put my money into this and ride this out. So, I mean, there's so many different factors. That's what makes our job so interesting.
Well, I was going to say, because this is not your typical, the reason I brought it up, it's not your typical, it's not your typical car auction.
Correct.
At all. It's not like, you know, you're going to one of those places where you're, because this is something totally separate. It really is a Elizabeth Taylor auction. It's like one of her diamond rings or something.
Right. It's one of those real classic pieces.
All right. Well,
go ahead.
No, I was going to say that that was my one question, because I saw that on page 14 of the New York Post. Yes, I'm sorry, folks. I do look at stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. But it did make a big splash. I mean, it did get a lot of publicity. And I think that because it has the Elizabeth Taylor name attached to it, that definitely will carry it. And just like any other iconic name, you know, what I was going to talk about today was Star Wars. There was a big sale of Star Wars toys, and there was actually a prototype toy that sold at auction, and it just broke the record for, I remember when these toys came out, but this particular piece, it sold, it was a rocket-firing Boba Fett prototype action figure, and it's not even 4 inches high, and it sold for $112,900. So a record for a Star Wars toy breaking $100,000. But it was also because it was a prototype. This particular toy was at the New York Toy Fair, and on display it was a prototype that was and if you're familiar with Toy Fair has been going on in New York. It takes place in January, and toy companies put out prototypes for different things for the toy shops to make orders and say, oh yeah, I'll take a dozen, or I'll take 10 dozen of these and put these in the shop for Christmas for the next year. And this particular prototype never went into production. Nobody really thought that this would be worthwhile. And so it was, this actual piece was at the toy fair, and then it went to a private collector, ended up in a private collection, ended up selling in this private collection, and then was sold on its own. And prior to it coming up for auction, they were also thinking this may be the one Star Wars toy, because of it being a prototype, that would break $100,000, and it did, which was interesting. And also in the same sale, there was a Jawa figure with a vinyl cape. And that was actually one that was on the mint on the card. It was one of the production pieces, and that sold for $32,450.
So, wow,
it's amazing what these Star Wars toys that are starting to bring. But there's a reason for this too. Is that the Star Wars franchise, they keep putting out new, and well, because Disney owns it now, is that they are constantly putting out either new movies or bringing something back, or it's available, and there are people who dress up like this, and there's a lot of Star Wars fans, so there's longevity there. It isn't that it was one movie that came out and then you don't really hear about it again, or is a cult classic and not a lot of people know it. I mean, this is Star Wars is global. Everybody knows about that. So interesting.
And they have kept it going with all these other offshoot now. It's amazing, because they're keeping the Star Wars generation and expanding it into people now that can go back and watch the original Star Wars. And these figures are probably going to be, in the history of mankind, will probably do nothing but go up now, really.
Absolutely. And a lot of it is because what Disney is doing is that there's the Star Wars experience that you have at Disney World and Disneyland. And we know a number of our friends who have brought their kids there, and their kids love it, and they just are enthralled by it. And that they are going to be the next generation that are going to be, oh, I remember that. Oh, yeah, maybe I'll buy that. And even though we are saying that a lot of millennials and the younger ones are not buying a lot of things because they're just, they want experiences, they will buy something like this because it is related to an experience that they had as a kid. And I think that there'll be some, as you said, Marshall, I think that'll just continue to go up, you know.
And that's been the smart thing. I remember when Disney started doing all the offshoots, like Rogue One, going back and even more prequels. And with what they do now with digital editing and bringing these, the original movies are now back with high def or ultra definition. And people are not afraid to go back and watch them because they're not really out of date. They're part of the storyline.
Correct. Yeah. Correct. And I mean, it's brilliant. It's brilliant marketing, unbeknownst to them. But all of, not only will that franchise and their movies continue, but all of the offshoots and the things that were marketing, you know, all the toys and all the licensed things after may not be as big, but I think these toys definitely, because they were produced in and played with and really weren't looked at as something that should be collected, but now people are, you know, they're seeing, oh, let's keep these mint in the card and do all of this. And there's a desirability. So there's a good chemistry. There's a good equation that adds up to that. It looks like it's going to increase in value. Yeah.
You know, when I think about collecting, I think back to my early days. I used to go to the Hall of Fame induction ceremonies in Cooperstown. And I started going years ago when I was in Kingston, New York in the 80s, and I was doing sports because I found out that when you go there, they gave you a pin, and it was a numbered pin.
Yep.
And it had the inductee's name and the year and stuff like that. And I started going up there just to collect the pin. I went there for like 10 years, 10 or 12 years, and I had a really nice collection of pins. And then they stopped, Major League Baseball stopped numbering them. Okay. So they were no longer limited. Okay.
Right.
But before they did that, I ended up selling my 10, I think it was my 10 pack. I think I ended up selling it for darn near close to, I want to say $7,000 or $8,000 back then.
Wow.
Yeah. Because it was for anybody who was collecting them up to that point and who didn't have any, it was like the Holy Grail.
Yeah.
It's the last thing I ever made. When I got something for free, I actually made money on.
That's a good return on your investment.
But I don't think they number them anymore. I think they stopped doing that because there were too many people like me that were selling their Tony and their Oscar awards.
Right, exactly. That's great. Oh, that's a great story.
It just seems like the Star Wars, ever since the first, the original three Star Wars movies, it's almost as though every year there's like been something that's, or every 2 years, something that's been coming out. And the merchandising, ever since, I think Star Wars is probably going to also be known for the fact that it was one of the first really major science fiction movies that really took advantage of merchandising. They sold everything. So,
you're right about that, because one of my favorite science fiction movies of all time, Forbidden Planet, the only thing they ever made out of Forbidden Planet was Robbie the Robot, who also went on to be featured in Lost in Space. But I remember as a kid getting for Christmas a Robbie Robert, because I used to love that movie. And that was the only thing they did out of it. But Star Wars, you can get a million different things you can.
Oh, there was so many. And it really, and that's the truth, because even a lot of the 60s and 70s, like the sci-fi movies, there were some of the vehicles. There. When I was at Christie's, we did a wonderful sale of sci-fi toys, sci-fi movie toys, and the robots and the battery-operated spaceships and cars and vehicles and things, they very limited. I mean, in terms of as far as what they did for Star Wars, but even with Star Wars, the very first action figures, George Lucas tried to get the licensing out there, and toy companies were like, wait, we don't understand this. And and Kenner took a chance and said, oh, okay, let's see what we could do. And
bingo.
It was a huge hit.
Bingo.
It was a huge hit. Yeah. Yeah.
Imagine all those executives that got fired for not doing it.
I know. Well, it's like executives passing on movie scripts and different, different things. But I think Star Wars was an anomaly because what they did is they did open the door. And you think about the toys of the 80s and 90s of all of the licensed toys. And it was all about licensing. But now you just look at a lot of the movies, they don't do all of that as much. It's more video games or apps or it's gone more digital. And it's interesting. And I think that's also playing into the fact that these toys continue to, they're part of the popular culture because people remember either having to find them for their kids or remember being kids and having them and playing with them or not taking them out of the cart or having to buy two so that you collect one that's all mint and then play with the other ones. There's a lot out there.
But just as a very quickly, because I know we're just about out of time, there's like 10 or 11 original, movies that were put out, but I just Googled something here and it said there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, at least 7, future Star Wars movies that are pending.
They've got it locked up from all the prequels. Now they can add on, and they come out with them about every 8 or 9 months. They're high quality stuff. They still tie into Star Wars. So,
yeah,
God bless them.
No, it's fascinating. I know. Hey. Well, that's the cash cow.
All right,
Disney cash cow.
May the force be with you too,
and to you as well. MPS, we're celebrating our 10th anniversary on Thursday, on the 8th.
10 years.
It's been 10 years, Marshall.
10 years, yeah.
10 years, buddy.
Do we got to reproduce the top of the wedding cake and sell them as collectibles.
Right. Yeah.
We'll send you a photo of our wedding topper.
Yeah, and then on the 16th will be, Tim and I, for our anniversary and also my 70th birthday on the 16th, we're going up to Titusville, the Kennedy Space Center, and we're going to be skydiving from 18,000 feet, so to celebrate the occasion.
Well, may the force definitely be with you.
Yeah, really. Yeah. Yes.
All right, guys.
We'll speak. Hey, take care, Marshall.
Take care.
Bye.
Tim, Luke, and Greg Schramm, the appraisal guys, the freaking frack of Nick and Knack appraise this. You'll find them at tqag.com on the web.